You are listening to Sermon Snippets with Max Taylor, where we exposit God's Word and apply its instruction to our everyday lives. As we study God's Word, we are learning truth that corrects our thinking, meets our needs, and teaches us more about Christ. Here's your host, Max Taylor.
Well, as we've already seen, Daniel chapter 11 is packed with history from our perspective and with a lot of teaching about what the Jews could expect to be coming up prophetically concerning them. And it is a dense chapter. Daniel chapter 11 is not just a quick read. It's not just an easy, light skim through. It's 45 verses of a lot of prophecy, and there's a lot of meaning, and sometimes you just read through and you're like, what in the world is it talking about? So this is why it's really important, why I kind of mentioned last week, it's so helpful to find a commentary that stresses the historical fulfillment of a lot of prophecy. And a great one is Ironside. There's other really good ones. And that's, in fact, I've mentioned on our other podcast, Give Attendance to Reading, that is one of the actual hallmarks of a good commentary, is how it deals with history and prophecy and how it ties the two together. So Ironside has a lot of help for chapters like this, like Daniel chapter 11. So we're going to get back into this prophecy. And today, I will tell you this, that today's section, this portion that we're going to go through, it has a lot of just very strong, straightforward, pointed message, but it also gives us a lot of hope, especially as believers. It really encourages us to put our focus on the return of Christ, to be looking for His coming. And that's really a reminder and a challenge that we all need from time to time, is to really be looking up, to get our gaze off of this world and to be focused on our eternity, and just to remember the fact that we are pilgrims. We are not meant for this life. This is not our final home. We are citizens of heaven with Christ already. So hopefully this will be an encouragement to us that the days are drawing near and that time and this life is going to be over here shortly. So, good reminder for us. Let's begin by looking at verse 21. If you remember, up to this point, pretty much we've looked at Persia. That's where we started, the first couple verses of chapter 11. And then since then, from about verse 5 to verse 20, last week we were just looking at the back and forth battles between the north and the south. So, between the Syrian or Seleucid Empire in the north, and then the Ptolemaic or Egyptian kingdom in the south. And it can get a little confusing. And there's a lot of kings involved. There's a lot of actual backstory beyond what this prophecy gives us. Now, with, you know, looking back in hindsight, we can see a lot more of the details. So you can study that for a long time. But today we're moving forward, starting with verse 21. And this is where the description is given of Antiochus Epiphanes, an absolute ruthless Seleucid ruler. So he was a king from the north. So that'll help us kind of get our bearings here. So he was from the Seleucid kingdom in the north. Antiochus Epiphanes. Some called him Antiochus the Crazy. Epiphanes really means the great. He kind of gave himself that title to lift himself up. So he called himself this great ruler. And we're going to see what a ruthless ruler he actually was. So his description begins in verse 21, and it says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." So kind of the first description we get of Antiochus here is that he's a man of flatteries, of subtlety, and he gains the heart of the people, the kingdom, by flatteries. Verse 22, "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant." So now it gives him this description, the prince of the covenant. That's a name for Antiochus Epiphanes here. So he's going to come in as with a flood and overthrow or overflow basically before the people and says, and it shall be broken. So he's going to basically just take complete control, and he's going to be doing this by use of a covenant. So he has all these people sign a covenant with him. We know from other prophecy that, and actually from history, that he signed a covenant with the Jewish people in verse 23. And it says, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. So it's saying he comes up peaceably, but then he does things so brash and just so repulsive that none of the kings before him of this northern Seleucid Syrian empire would have thought to do. So he outdoes them all in his display of violence and his brutality. It says he basically scatters upon them the prey and spoil and riches. So he just flaunts himself, and he is very violent with the prey. And then it says, and he will stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a great, with a very great and mighty army, and he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. So this is different, because in the past, when the king of the north and the king of the south went to battle, typically it was the southern Egyptian king that was successful, that won in those skirmishes and those conflicts. But now the tide has turned, because this subtle ruler who came in by peace and who captured the heart of the people, he has now turned violent pretty much, and he is now completely consolidated control in the north, and he goes out to war against the king of the south, and he crushes the king of the south. It says in verse 26, yea, they that feed on the portion of his meat shall destroy him, speaking actually of the king of the south here, because in fact it was his sons, and I believe those of his house, who betrayed him to Antiochus Epiphanes. So we're reading this verse kind of in the middle of this thought here. So speaking of the king of the south, yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. And I wanted to point out this phrase, because it happens actually three times in the portion that we're going to read here today. All that's going on with all the confusion, all the chaos, you know, everyone being kind of taken aback at this ruler who came in peaceably and subtly, and he promised things and flatteries, and now he's become this violent person, going to war and being this strong ruler. All of this is not a surprise to God, because it says all this happens just at the time appointed. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. So God knew this was going to happen this entire time. It's all just playing out, just as God knew, according to the time appointed. Really important and encouraging that we remember that. And verse 28 says, then shall he return unto his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. So now he turns his attention against the holy covenant, against the people of God. And you can always see the hand of the Antichrist, the hand of the opposition against God, by who is going against the people of God. Antiochus Epiphanes is a forerunner of the actual Antichrist, the one who's going to come any day now, really, because the rapture can happen imminently, and we will be caught up together with Christ. And then what's going to happen here on this earth is going to be the unfolding of the tribulation, God's judgment. And the devil is going to have his man, the Antichrist, to oppose everything about God and to lead mankind astray. And that's who this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, who is a real historical character, that's who he was a forerunner of. And in fact, he's called the Antichrist of the Old Testament, because the Antichrist is going to, in fact, be future, and he's prophesied in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, he was fulfilled in this person, Antiochus Epiphanes. And you can always tell who is opposed to God by who goes against God's people. And sad to say, there are some professing Christians who attack and go after God's people, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. That is, you cannot be Christian, you cannot be a follower of God, and hate God's people. It doesn't work that way. So we read this about him. Now he's coming back to his own land. Verse 29, it says, at the time appointed, there again that phrase, at the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter, for the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Now there's kind of a lot of history that we don't have time to get into all of it there, but basically, when he comes back, he begins to bring hard times on the Jewish people, and they actually cry out to the Roman Empire, as they had done at different times, to come against this Greek ruler, to come against this Syrian ruler, Antiochus Epiphanes. And so the ships of Shittim probably refer to the Romans. They came and forced him, basically, to lead the Jewish people and not to conquer them as he was doing. So he gives into that for a little bit because he doesn't really have a choice. But then he becomes wise to these who forsake the holy covenant, and he starts using these people who are not followers of Jehovah, these Jewish people who are kind of rebellious, and yet he even pays one of the most defamed men to have the position of serving in the temple. And so the Jews were highly, highly offended at this. But this is what he begins to do. So verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And so this is the occasion when he actually offered a pig in the temple. That's referred to as the abomination that maketh desolate. And he sprinkled the pig's blood, defiling the whole temple. Verse 32, he also set up a statue to himself there. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do not know, or that do know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them that do understand shall fall to treat them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So there we see an encouraging description of those that follow God who continue to the end. And we'll pick up with that faithful remnant next week.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Snippets. If this Bible study is a help to you, consider downloading the weekly episodes or sharing this podcast with a friend. Until next time, remember that God's Word is perfect, and it's everything you need to live for Him.